used in the Holy Letters of the Rebbe in Volume 5, and this is letter number 1331, and the Rebbe is writing it to this rabbi, the great genius. The Rebbe had asked people also, as you know, today there is a big library which is attached to 770. That library houses the various different libraries from the previous Rebbe's. And as you know, also there has been this big battles with the Russian government about the books that called the Schneerson collection, which they're housing now over there in the community center, but Russia won't really release them. It was a whole big to do. Also, you know, the other court case that took place with the Sfarim. But the Rebbe has encouraged, as well as all other Rebbe's, that anybody who authored any books, that they should send to the Rebbe library, for the Rebbe's use in the Rebbe's library. The Rebbe has offered, not mostly, if I believe, not monetary compensation, but rather exchanging publications that were published by the Rebbe in Chabad as exchange for some of this forum. And the Rebbe very much encouraged, especially that old manuscript, old Svarim, in some places, you know, was, you know, in the olden days, people would have a geniza. They would have, today we buried some old books, but in olden days, they used to put it down in the basement of a shul, of an old shul, or in the attic of a shul, and they would kill those Svarim. Some of those collected old Svarim were very, very valuable. They have the geniza in Kahir from in Egypt. They had a very famous... it was Geniza Kherson. There's various different Genizas. They're called Geniza, and then it turned out to be very, very valuable. A lot of times it involves, you know, battles also of ownership and things like that. But in any event, this is Rebbe responding to this Rabbi Rosen, who wrote a certain sefer. And the Rebbe usually would also... take a few minutes to comment on some of the contents of the book, you know, that was sent to him. So that was the Rebbe's contribution, sort of, to the ideas that were discussed over there. So this is a little bit of a complex. The Rebbe says peace and blessings. Apparently, the Rebbe didn't write the letter by himself, but this is in the name of the Rebbe, it says. I want to acknowledge with great thanks receiving your book called Nezer HaKodesh, which is on the Tractate Tamid, and for sure the Rebbe says you will send to the library of the Rebbe also your other publication things, other books that you published, and I thank you in advance. And he says the Rebbe is adding a few of his notes on several aspects in your book. I mean, I'm just trying to understand why this is being done in the name of the Rebbe. This is, to me, it seems unusual. Again, I'm not such an expert, but most of the time the Rebbe communicates in the cases like this by himself. And he also says that the Rebbe instructed to send you the Sefer Mamorim Tovshin that you will certainly find interest in and with honor and blessing. Again, I'm not sure what was the date of through Tavis, why the Rebbe is using it through somebody else instead of doing directly, which is the usual way, if I believe. The Rebbe makes a couple of notes over here, because apparently the person asked a question in his comments over there on the in his book. He asked a question. It says that there were three places that the Kohanim would guard in the temple. They would guard, and he enumerates it over there. So, why is a number necessary? Why does the rabbi, or the author, have to say three? Should just say the places where they were watching, and everybody could know what is the number three. So, and the Rebbe says that it seems to him that this is very simple. Why? Because that is the halacha. The halacha is that it has to be in three places, as we learn it out from the verses. later on, the Mishnah goes ahead and details where it took place. So it wasn't those places. So it would be obvious, let's say, that if they guarded in three other places, they also fulfilled the obligation. The verse says you have to watch in three places. So it's important, the main halacha is that it's three places. The Torah doesn't say you have to watch in Beis Aftinas, in that place, etc. It doesn't say the place, it just says three places. So wherever it is, it needs to be. Further, the Rebbe says, let's say the Mishnah would not say three places. It would have just started saying the name of the place. One spot where they carded was the Beis Aftinas. We still would have no idea what and how many places in the Beis HaMoked would they put the guards, because if we don't know three, so over there it has to be one here, and in the Beis HaMoked it has to be two, so we need to know, because if we were to say Beis HaFtinah, Beis HaMoked, we wouldn't know two. And what happens if you can't place in one of those places? For some reason you can't place over there. If you don't say the number three, then you still don't know. What do you do if you can't place for whatever reason? Or what would be the din in the first Beis HaMikdash, or the third Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, where you don't have these places? Those places were only in the second temple that they had those places. So it was necessary to write the number three, because to know that in all places it was three. So in the second temple it happened to be in those places, but otherwise you wouldn't know it. So now the Rambam doesn't bring down, we're actually studying now in the Perek Echad Layom, we're studying the laws of Teshuvah now. So why does the Rambam not bring down the verse which says in the Pasuk that you shall return to God your God? That's the source for Teshuvah, V'shafta Hashem Elokecha. So the Rebbe says, it seems to me that the Rambam himself has sort of forewarned this, he cautioned this, and he writes in chapter 7, in Halacha 8, and explains over there that this verse is merely, it's not a mitzvah, but rather it's relating a story and a promise to the Jewish people that at the end of the exile they will do teshuvah. So it's not a mitzvah, you should do teshuvah, but vishavta, and you will do teshuvah. Because the reasoning, and the reasoning the Rebbe explains would be, because that's the context when you read it in the verse, simply, in the simple meaning, it is discussing what will take place in the end of days. The author that the Rebbe was writing to, he wanted to explain, he said that that the Torah isn't talking about mitzvahs that is in your heart. Teshuvah is like in your heart. So the Torah doesn't talk about mitzvahs that are in your heart. And like, what would be like a thing? Let's say when the Torah says you should destroy, remove the chametz, a tashbisu, can you just in your heart remove it? In other words, just in your heart. But the Rebbe says this is surprising, because we find many mitzvahs which are in the heart. To the unity of Hashem, to love Hashem, to fear Hashem. And also in the Rambam, if you look in the language, that a person can even consecrate an animal through his thought. It's not just that the person is an obligation to verbalize it, unlike Rashi and Tosfos over there. And now Rebbe references other sources. But the Rebbe says what the question really, that's bothersome in this subject matter is, since all the prophets have always commanded to do teshuvah, it's also a condition when you bring a sacrifice, as we just learning today in the Rambam, or we learned yesterday, you must confess, you must do teshuva. You can't just, he says, if you're bringing a sacrifice and you're not meaning it and you're not really confessing, is like it's worthless, you know. If you just say with your lips, "I'm sorry," but and you don't really mean it in your heart, it's just, you know, it's worthless. But so how come there is no very clear mitzvah about it? So the Rebbe says, actually, there is a mitzvah. The Torah writes, you shall circumcise, even though the Rebbe said, I haven't found this clearly, you should circumcise the foreskin of your heart, or don't harden your stiff-neckedness further, which means we have a command to circumcise the stiffness of the heart and to remove the hardness, stiff-neckedness that are already there. Torah is not defining it if they already caused you to sin, or you not didn't yet sin, but you have to take care of it. So it's both included in the mitzvah. If you have sinned, then you know you take do the shuvah. If you didn't sin, then let it not come to you. And the Rambam doesn't count this as one of the mitzvahs of the shuvah, is because it's a general mitzvah which does not include. Like, we don't put a mitzvah, okay, keep all the mitzvahs. That's not a mitzvah. That's talking about all the mitzvahs. To do teshuvah, that's inclusive of all mitzvahs. That's not counted in the 613 mitzvahs. It referenced further the Zohar, etc., and further. The Rebbe further says that he hasn't really fully explained what he says, l'chai o'ilomim. So, you know, you say, ho'aderes v'ho'amuna, l'chai o'ilomim, right? So, sometime, or you say, l'chaye, with two yuds. Sometimes, l'chaye, or l'chai. And with one, you can either say, chay, or chai o'ilomim. You can either say, o'ilomim, or ho'ilomim. So there's a difference in the Brechas Baruch Shamar, Melech Yochid, Chei Ho'ilomim. In Yishtabach you said, Chai Ho'ilomim. In Boyer Nefashas Rabbis you say, Baruch Chei Ho'ilomim. And Aderes V'amuna you say, L'Chai Ho'ilomim. So the Rebbe brings down, so do you say, there's various different languages that you say, various different places in the davening. So the Rebbe brings down various different opinions over there. In the Sefer Choknosan, he says every time you should say Chai Ho'ilomim, also there is V'amuna. In Sidra Barman Goyen, the Baruch Shom Mishtabach, Chai with one Yud, and Nefoshes, it's two Yudin, Chai Ho'ilomim, and it's all B'Pasach, Chai. In the Siddur Yaivitz, he says, by Baruch Shomer, Yishtav, and Shoshis, you say, with one Yud and a Pasach, Chai Ho'ilomim, and there is a Munah, you say, L'Chai Ho'ilomim, with a Pasach, and the Alter Rebbe Siddur, and all this, Chai Ho'ilomim, one Yud and a Tzere, Chai Ho'ilomim, Yochid Chai Ho'ilomim, with a Tzere, but the exception is that there is a Munah, over there you say, Chai Ho'ilomim, say, Ol Chodesh. The Magen Avraham doesn't give his opinion, only with Ben Nefoshes Rabbis, he says with a tzedek. What does he hold by Baruch Shem Shtabach and the Muna? And this is also a question, what is the Gros opinion? And also the Avudram, because here's a various different... further references to this. But these are all the various different, the Rebbe is addressing the various different things that he touched in his letter, and the Rebbe, but apparently the Rebbe gave him a lot to think about. I mean,
yeah.
Quite a lot to think about, you know, and not sure.